So the theme of what we're talking about today is suits. We'll start off, try to keep it light. I actually did this at a spokesman's club, and one of the gentlemen out in the audience got so nervous that I had to call quits early. I know my jacket's inside out. Anyway, so let's start off pretty light. I've caught a bit of an entrepreneurial bug lately. And I have a great new business idea. I'm going to take photographs of salmon dressed in suits and sell them online. It'll be like shooting fish in apparel. Yeah? Okay. So Gabe stepped out, I guess, but I hear he started going to the gym in a tuxedo. Turns out it's great for doing cardio, but not so much for weightlifting. It's just not his strong suit. What's the difference between a well-dressed Jay and his tired dog? Jay wears a suit, the dog just pants. Why did Liam dress his pocket knife up in a suit? Because he wanted it to look sharp. And last but not least, Amalia told me she thinks the beekeeper suits are very unflattering. But Mark wears them anyway, because beauty is in the eye of the beholder. All right. So the title of today's sermonette is, Don't Just Heed the Commandments That Suit You. Merriam-Webster Online Dictionary defines a suit as a set of garments, such as an ensemble of two or more, usually matching outer garments, such as a jacket, vest, and trousers. And if you Google the purpose of wearing a suit, you'll find all sorts of vendors or fashionistas that like to weigh in, and they say, when you wear a suit, you communicate with those around you that you are confident and professional. Wearing a suit lends an air of authority and boosts your credibility. See? A suit says that you are taking the situation seriously enough to dress the part. Whether people realize it or don't, a suit sends a message that you are there to do business and that you should be taken seriously. So, now I ask you, how seriously are you taking me standing up here looking like this? All right, so I'm gonna swap this thing. Cue the intermission music and whatnot, so I don't look quite so silly. And you're free to tell me if my collar's up, unless, because I know my wife doesn't. It's up. How about now? Good. Okay. That was the most nerve-wracking part of putting this together. Okay. So the suit is designed in a certain way, to be worn in a certain way, and if you don't wear it in that certain way, you void the value that that suit was supposed to bring to your appearance. The purpose of this message is to use this visual to analogize how we should read and utilize God's instructions for how we treat each other. Let's fire through a few scriptures. They're all in the same spot in Ephesians chapter 5. We'll be reading initially verse 22 through 25. This regards husbands and wives. Starting in verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Verse 25 is, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. So, is the husband's value takeaway from this scripture that he is now armed with biblical basis to remind his wife that she is sinning if she doesn't submit to him, as he defines it? Is the wife now armed with the biblical basis to insist that he is commanded to love her, and if he truly loved her, he would buy her a string of pearls or what have you? So the next scripture is Ephesians 6 and verse 1 through 4. This is a different relationship. This is referring to, of course, between father and children. starting verse 1 of chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that I'm probably not the only one in the room that played the fathers don't provoke your children to wrath card with my own dad. You know, obviously, I knew how to define what that actually meant at the time. But anyway, it just seemed like it's something that it made sense in my mind. I'm mad, so my dad needs to change. Then there's another one. And this is just continuing right after that scripture. This is regarding in this context, it's the slave and the master, but I tell you what, if you do some studying, you can find a pretty strong correlation between a biblical slave and a master and current employer-employee relationship. So I would say this applies to our employment. Ephesians 6 and verse 5, reading through verse 9, but starting in verse 5, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart, as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you, masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. Now this works out nice, because now, if you show up late for your job for two weeks or so, late every day, and the boss throws that old, if you show up late again, you're fired, you just go, nah, nah, nah. Bible says you're not supposed to threaten me, right? It seems to make sense. The purpose of this message is very simple, but I'm guessing it is more relevant in our lives than most of us tend to realize. It not only applies to these scriptures in Ephesians. Every wedding I have ever attended, Christian or secular, I'll include one part of the ceremony that is, for all intents and purposes, the same. The exchanging of vows. Now, you know, I could say to Gabe, when you've been married as long as I've been, I like to throw that one out because he's, you know, 2 months after. Anyway, if you want to have a productive discussion over some grievance you have with your spouse, try starting it something like this. I, your name here, so I'll just use my name and Josie's. I, Jared, took you, Josie, to be my lawfully wedded wife, to have and to hold, to love and to cherish, for richer and for poorer, through sickness and health, until death do us part. Now also, if you want to have a very unproductive discussion with your wife, or your spouse, you could start it out like this. You, Josie, took me, Jared, to be your lawfully wedded husband, to have and to hold, to love and to cherish, for richer and poorer, through sickness and health, until death do us part. There's a big difference of just the perspective, the way you approach the same subject. So, just like this suit that I'm wearing only serves to enhance my appearance if I put it on the right way, these commandments of how I am to treat others only work as designed if I do as I am told. When God tells my wife to submit to me as to the Lord, he's not talking to me. So if my wife is not submitting, my focus needs to be on how to best show love to my wife so she wants to submit to me. When my father did things that upset me, like I said, as if I knew what that meant, the whole provoking children anger, my focus should not be should be more so on how I can honor and obey him so that he doesn't have to behave so brashly. Or when my boss confronts me, my focus should be on being obedient and sincere in heart as to Christ, not just when the boss is looking, always and with goodwill. I hope this message has been of value, and I'm sorry if wearing my suit like that caused you any extra stress.